Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. We're delighted to welcome in Corey Chavis. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Corey, of course, CBS Sports college football analyst. We remember him well for the horrors he imposed upon the Bears when he was with the Vikings. Morning, Corey. How are you?
Morning, Corey.
I'm good, man. How are you guys doing this morning, man?
Well, you know, we're trying to overcome what, you know, we saw the Bears beat up on the Vikings, and everybody thought this is going to be like the 85 season. Then they went to London, and things went awry, so we're just kind of recovering during the bye week. But other than that, life is good.
Well, I mean, I think they played a good football team. You know, the funny thing about football is everybody wants to connect years, right?
Yep.
So sometimes I feel like people want to connect a 1989 team to teams that play in 2019, and you can't connect years in terms of even organizational structure. Things change so much, so every year is its own entity. And I feel like you just happen to play a good football team. It's a competitive game, and you are playing with your backup quarterback.
Corey, want to get to college football, but given your experience and background in the NFL and with the Vikings, who's the best team in the NFC North?
But right now, you'd have to say it's Detroit. I know everybody wants to jump up and say it's Green Bay, but I like what Detroit's done defensively. I think the more they evolve their running game, I think that's going to be something that's going to help them in colder weather. They're going to have to get that more established, and that's been a bugaboo of theirs. And you could argue that Green Bay might be, or even Chicago could be a better defensive team than them. But I believe that this is a year that, a make or break year for Matthew Stafford. And I feel like he feels that pressure. Barely let one get away a couple of weeks ago against Kansas City, a game I thought they should have won. And I also think they let the first game of the season end up turning into a tie unnecessarily against the Cardinals.
I think it's interesting you say that we try to connect years in football, because I think that in college football, We basically talk about dynasties. We talk about this being like kind of two teams, and Clemson is already misstepped, and Alabama is the other one, and we know Alabama's at Texas A&M on Saturday on CBS. When you look at the way that we kind of view this Final Four stuff and the way that we try to kind of pigeonhole all these dynasties, Alabama obviously atop the nation. Could they run afoul of Texas A&M here, number 24 in the nation?
Well, they could. I mean, I think it comes down to Kellen Mond having the kind of performance that he had a year ago in the game basically against Clemson. And I think that's going to be paramount. And a lot of that was him creating outside of the pocket, throwing the ball on the move, throwing the ball rolling to his left against his body, making spectacular throws. Now, I didn't think he played as well this year against Clemson, in another defining moment for him on the road. This time he's back at home. That performance against Clemson a year ago was at home. And surprisingly for me, I don't think they've really gotten into rhythm the way they wanted to, the Aggies this year, offensively. You know, most people think about Texas A&M coming back this year and maybe their offense would take the next step. But in actuality, their defense has actually gotten a lot better this year. They're the one that are ranked in the top 25, and I thought they've been active and thrown around. That gives them a chance, but they've got bigger corners, and I want to see how they match up with some of the sleekness of the Alabama receivers in terms of being able to get away from what I consider soft coverage a lot of times. Will these corners challenge the Alabama receivers at the line of scrimmage?
Corey, you see a lot of different teams, a lot of different parts of the country. This week you're going to see BYU at USF. And I just wondered, in your travels and as you watch college football and you study it, It used to be that the college game kind of mimicked the NFL. And I think in recent years, maybe you've seen the opposite holding true. And you're seeing a lot of NFL teams, because of the quarterback, because of the RPOs and these kind of things, kind of almost mimicking or copying what works in the college game. Do you agree with that? Or do you see any other trends that you think kind of being copied in the NFL?
Well, I think it's an astute assessment by you, because everybody says it, right? But really, what is the NFL mimicking? They're mimicking the high school game, because that's what you end up getting. A lot of these coaches that I run into, they come from the high school ranks. I mean, just think about the innovation of what Art Briles, for example. He's doing a great job at the high school level again now. And I know about the controversy and all that, but he brought a lot of the high school concepts to college. Some of those have filtered around, and look at some of like the branches from that tree. But I also feel like beyond just that, the teams in the NFL who are able to, like, for example, I'll give you the Carolina Panthers. People wonder, like, how in the last two or three weeks McCaffrey's taken his game to even another level. Mm. But if you go back to the root principles of some of the things that North Turner did, some of it was under center, which would give that running back more time to find those holes under center. So maybe he was actually being held back by the fact that Newton always has to be in the shotgun, mm-hmm, off of some of these college-type schemes. And then if you look at the game on Monday night, San Francisco under center in the first play, Matt Breida, who played an option offense at Georgia Southern, he takes it off tackle 83. So those teams went back to root principles, and now they're kind of like going against the grain to a degree about what you talked about. I think that's the answer to some of these so many of these teams doing the college-type schemes in the NFL.
You know, we tend to look at some of these college games and some of these this could be a phenomenal quarterback class coming into the NFL. We tend to look at them through the lens of how they're going to do in the NFL. There's an NFL game this week, which is interesting, which is Washington and Miami, the winless teams facing off. We know Miami wants that first pick, probably going to take Tua, and that's already people talking about them actually trying to lose. But Washington's fascinating because they drafted Dwayne Haskins in the first round. Is it possible they could wind up taking a guy like Joe Burrow, the LSU quarterback that a lot of people we've talked to believe could be the best prospect out of all of them, and Joe Burrow couldn't beat out Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State, so he transferred to LSU. How bizarre would it be if he ends up being drafted and turning him into Josh Rosen?
Yeah, well, I mean, that could be something else, and I definitely think Burrow has the confidence. I like the confidence he plays with, along with the physical skill set, which you saw a year ago. But now I think what you're seeing is he believes, like, it kind of a chip on his shoulder, like, I should be the starter at Ohio State. But the thing I think when you look at this game that you just ended up referring to, what you should be talking about, or we should be talking about going into that game, is actually Dwayne Haskins versus Josh Rosen, and looking at the development of these quarterbacks and seeing if they can eventually become legitimate starters in the NFL. But instead, you know, I think there's some subplots that are dominating this game. And unfortunately for those two players, it's all about the organizational fit. So if for Washington, if they believe that Burrow is the guy, they'll make sure that they fit the pieces around him for him to develop. And you can see what's happened with Rosen. Hopefully Haskins is not in a similar situation, right, where the organization was divided on that pick. If he was, then it's going to be a bad script for him moving forward if everybody in the organization wasn't all in on Haskins.
Corey, a lot of the quarterbacks making news at college football this year are guys who aren't the prototypical style quarterbacks back when you were intercepting passes in the NFL. When you project some of these guys, Tua, Jalen Hurts, and some of the other quarterbacks having big seasons, who do you think projects as the best NFL or most NFL-ready player?
For the most NFL-ready player, I believe right now, you would have to go with probably between Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert in terms of the size and I do believe size does matter. All you have to do is watch some of these smaller quarterbacks in the NFL. Aside from Russell Wilson, there's going to be some struggles initially. I think Tua is probably a little bit smaller than the other two guys. I think he might be around that 6-foot mark when he actually gets measured based on the stuff that I'm hearing. So I think that's going to have a little bit of a negative impact on him. I still think he'll end up being a first rounder. another guy that I think has really kind of hurt himself this year. But, you know, some of it is the supporting cast of Jordan Love. I thought he was beginning to last year develop into a guy that didn't make a lot of mistakes. You know, I don't know that the LSU game necessarily hurt him because of the guys he's playing against, but he certainly didn't elevate his game to the level that you thought he would. Just basically by having a solid performance against them, I don't think he played all that well.
Corey, thanks a ton. Really a lot of knowledge. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Corey.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate y'all having me on.
That's Corey Chavis. He's CBS Sports college football analyst. He'll be doing the BYU at USF game this week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.